the first degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
The first degree.
These things are supposed to happen in movies, not in real life.
Welcome to The First Degree, the true crime podcast that you might end up on. My name is Jack Vanek. I'm sitting
killing
far away.
Time.
What?
We're doing killing time.
It's still The First Degree podcast.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, let me do my intro. I'm sitting sorry. Far away from Alexis Wait. Linkletter and Billy Jensen.
Wait, keep going. Sorry.
And this is a special killing time episode. If Alexis wouldn't have interrupted me.
I'm really sorry. It's been a long day. Sorry, Jack. You know what you're doing. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm sorry about that.
It's quite all right. I mean, it does feel weird when we've done these episodes because this is actually the only the second one that we've done of a extra long killing time, right?
Yes. And we want to explain ourselves for those of you who are hoping for our standard format. It's literally, we never get a week off and these take so much time and energy. And also, not as many people listen. So we work extra hard, even though it's our only time to maybe enjoy some time off, and then half the people listen. So this seemed like a fair compromise where we don't do nothing, but it's not as in-depth as our normal episode would be.
And I know that everybody on the Facebook group was like, no, I listened, because we did this for the Thanksgiving episode. We see our numbers, and we see that they're half of what they normally are on these episodes. So, you know, we might as well just shoot the shit and not have to research. Alexis doesn't have to research gruesome murder for, you know, 20 hours for 1 week. So we're trying to give you a break, Alexis. Right, Billy?
That's exactly right.
I can't take all the credit because now I don't do all the research. Taylor Rogers, one of our producers, definitely has taken the weight off. While I write the episodes, he certainly gives me the foundation. So thanks, Taylor. Happy holidays. I hope you listen, but probably not.
We don't even listen. Billy, when's the last time you listened to our podcast?
About 4 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just want to self-affirm something that you guys made fun of me about. So
what was it?
I don't remember. It all just becomes a blur.
You guys want to hear a real secret from me? I haven't listened in months.
And you used to be so obsessed with listening every week.
Well, because here's the thing. I wanted to catch my own errors. Mm-hmm. When I was editing myself and when I was researching and writing it all myself and when I was stringing out everything myself, I was like, I can't be mad at anyone if it's just my fault. So I wanted to catch my own mistakes. Now I've delegated because Caitlin Cleveland, shout out Caitlin, strings out for us. And like I'm so neurotic, like I don't want to find mistakes in her work because I love her and she's so capable.
So I'm just capable, like, by the way.
If I don't listen to the mistakes, they don't exist. Because listeners don't catch them. It's something only I would catch because the listeners love it. So I'm like,
unless you say the wrong Lake Seamus or whatever that lake was, the Ted Bundy lake. That's
Lake Sammamish and Lake Seamus. Yeah, they were different lakes. But our first degree is the one who told me that they were the same lake. And she was from the area. So here's the thing. I also believe people, which is my own fault. But
we also just don't have the time or energy or manpower to fact check every single thing that we say in the episodes. So we're just hoping for the best, I think.
We're doing our best. The facts are always correct. As far as some of the nuance of like the things that could go either way, that does happen, like with the pronunciation of something, because it really is just like a very small operation over here, guys. In a weekly podcast, if you want us to move to bi-weekly, we can cross our T's and dot our I's.
No, we do not want to do that.
Nope. All right, great.
So do not even give them the opportunity.
Nobody wants a bi-weekly podcast. People, dude, I don't know what is going on. What is?
Sword and Scale is bi-weekly and I still listen to it.
Well, even though he's mean. Sword and Scale. Huh? He's a dick, but God damn it, that podcast is good.
Yeah, he's so mean. And I'm just like, he throws in these like sassy comments. I mean, he's not having a conversation with anyone. It's just himself. But I'm like, oh, you listeners who are so snowflakes. I'm like, who are you talking to, A? And then B, rude, But he like loves to stir shit up. He's like on purpose mean. He's a like podcast troll.
But it's because he knows that people are talking shit in the Sword and Skill subreddit that he has gotten banned from.
Oh, totally. Oh, he's banned from it?
Yeah, he got banned from his own subreddit, I think. I think. Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that he did because he was like trolling everybody. And then a lot of doxing was happening. I don't know from which way, but it was a whole to-do.
Mike Boudet, I love that for you. Oh, should I share my Mike Boudet story?
Share your Mike Boudet story.
So I, before we had our own podcast, I've always, you know, produced your
Crime. Oh my God, this is a good story.
So I emailed them a story idea because you could do a submission. And it was before I thought he was a dick and it was before we had our own podcast. And I was like, hey, Mike Boudet, do this case. I produced an episode of Snapped about it. And I sent a bunch of links and I gave all this info. Never heard anything. Then they were like, drum roll, our 100th episode is Donna Scrivo and Ramsey Scrivo. And I was like, that's what I fucking sent him. And he didn't even respond. And he made it a two-part, his 100th episode. Then when he was getting a ton of shit for – he posted something on Instagram that was like, don't email us story ideas. We don't fucking care. It's our job. Something like that. And I –
yeah.
I responded on the Instagram. I was like, oh, okay, because I sent you your hundredth episode idea. So maybe you do want people to email you. And he responded, who the fuck are you? Then I think really quick he realized, and then he deleted his comment and mine. Mm-hmm. And like I was like, okay, fucker. A dirty delete of both because I called him out because I'm like, really? You don't want people to email you because you stole my – like, it didn't steal it because I offered it up. But, like, a little response would have been appreciated. And then to be rude – like, not only did he say, like, oh, sorry. Thank you for your 100th episode contribution. He deleted my comment.
I mean, that's when you know – when somebody deletes something – you know, Instagram is so crazy because you can delete comments. I think that is a wild feature of Instagram that you can just delete. You should not be able to.
But no, the thing is that there are such crazy internet mobs now where people turn on you for lies. So maybe I get it. I don't know. There's a lot of shit.
That was a feud that like it was funny because we were absolutely nothing at the time and we're like, should we make it a feud?
Yeah, let's fucking play this up because maybe he'll start talking about us on his podcast and we'll blow us up even more. I wanted that.
Billy, do you have any thoughts about this?
You know what? Yeah, no, I have.
I was asking Billy thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's never good to build yourself up on somebody else's misery.
Who's miserable, though? What are you talking about?
At the end of the day, Alexis.
We all are.
Wait, but like, what is your response about? Who's miserable? Never. What? Were you not listening? Just say you weren't listening.
I was listening.
And Billy knows the story. He was there.
I know the story. I was there. I've heard the story before.
Me?
I think Mike is a little bit miserable. And
I think that guy is fucking delighted. I think that guy is not miserable. I think that guy has probably a better life than anybody I know because he doesn't give a fuck. He acts like he has fuck you money. Like that's joy. However, whatever self-esteem pills he's taking, I want it.
It is nice. It's not nice, but wouldn't it be nice to not give a fuck about anything?
Like to not filter yourself?
Yeah, that's a sociopath though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a sociopath trait.
He's doing what people like Howard Stern do. Like it's like shock culture and you win a certain amount of people over with that.
Okay, you pigeonhole yourself into a corner for sure, but then
Miserable. Howard Stern goes to therapy 3 times a week and he admits that he's miserable.
Because of his Howard career Stern choice?
Not miserable.
Have you listened to the show? He will tell you he's miserable.
You or I are miserable and that we're too smart to be happy. You too, Jack.
Wait, like, what does that say about me?
No, you too. Like we're all too self-aware and whatever. But no, Howard Stern's not miserable.
No, ignorance is bliss for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very, this took a turn, this whole conversation. I think that what I wanted to ask is, Billy, what day is it today?
Right.
You know, there's only one day today. And it's Festivus.
It's motherfucking Festivus.
I got a lot of problems with you people, and you're going to hear about it right now. Because we're going to do the airing of grievances.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I have prepared a little bit of a Festivus chat for us all to have, because I think it is absolutely amazing that this episode actually does fall on Festivus. And we're all Seinfeld fans, and I hope that
Costanza of Los Angeles.
Do we want to explain? Wait, do we need to assign Billy a Seinfeld character in our group? Is he Kramer because he's like long and lanky, but he's not as wacky as Kramer? Molly Shannon's
character from that episode with the woman who doesn't move her arms when she walks.
Oh my god! Done. I like that. And also obscure. You know, it works for Billy.
No, I'm going to be the close talker. I'm going to be Judge Reinhold as the close talker.
I'm sick. There's nothing worse than a close talker, especially now. COVID times.
You can be the woman who pronounces it. What does she pronounce it? The pretentious woman who George dates. Who says papier-mâché.
Oh, my God.
you're papier-mâché woman.
Oh, my God. I love this.
Where's Susan?
Okay.
From stamp licking.
Yeah, Billy's.
Wow, really?
He's gonna went be. There. I think.
Who they killed off the show because they didn't like her.
I loved her.
Yeah, but they didn't like her as a they didn't like her as an actress. They didn't like her as a person, so they killed her off.
Yeah, as you do
that.
I've watched a behind the scenes thing. Yeah,
they said. Really? That.
Yep.
Where? What behind the scenes thing?
A behind the scenes thing. They just said that, like, we did not like her on the show. She Ooh. Was not fun to work with.
Is this a TV show? Like, where did you watch this? Where can I watch it?
A behind the scenes of Seinfeld. I'm sure there's
I will send you a link.
They do that?
God forbid you ever. Yes.
He would do that for you. Okay. Let me get into this Festivus talk. So I was doing a little Googling, like trying to prepare what we were going to talk about. Do you guys know the history behind Festivus? Like how why it even is a thing? Do you know anything about this?
A little bit, yeah.
I really want to know.
Okay. So I'm going to go straight from the Wikipedia article and I'm going to read two little blurbs from it because it's very interesting. So it says, and for anybody that doesn't, I mean, number one, watch the Festivus episode of Seinfeld today because it's very festive. If you don't know about it, you can learn about it. So it says Festivus is a secular holiday celebrated on December 23rd today as an alternative to the pressures and commercialism of the Christmas season. Originally created by the author Daniel O'Keefe, Festivus entered popular culture after it was made the focus of a 1997 Seinfeld episode, The Strike, which O'Keefe's son, Dan O'Keefe, co-wrote. So this is like actually a real...
Oh, wow.
Holiday and situation that the writer of this episode of Seinfeld's family actually celebrates. And I think that is so, it's so funny. And it's so Seinfeld. So it says, okay, I'm going to read like a little bit of the history behind that. So it says, O'Keefe was initially reluctant to insert his family's tradition into this episode, but when executive producers Alec Berg and Jeff Schaefer caught wind of the bizarre holiday through his younger brother, they became curious, then enthusiastic, then insisted that it have a place in the episode. Schaefer later recalled, quote, "That's the thing with Seinfeld stories. The real ones are always the best ones. There's a nuanced reality sometimes that is just perfect. We could have sat in a room for a billion years and we never would have came up with Festivus. It's crazy and hilarious and just so funny and so disturbing. It's awesome." And I love that story.
It's awesome. That is fucking great. I had no idea that was the thing. Yeah.
I love that. It's like, that's so fun.
It's so just classic for Seinfeld and like a Larry David situation where it's like those actual everyday real life situations they really do end up making the best stories.
They really
do. It's too crazy to be true. Okay, so after we come back from the break, we're going to dig into Festivus, the three of us.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
Okay, so there are a couple different things to that make Festivus Festivus. And I'm going to kind of like dive into each of them, right? Mm-hmm. Are we ready?
Yes.
So the first thing about Festivus is you have to make your own Festivus pole. And that is an aluminum pole with a very high strength to weight ratio. Now, do you guys have something in your house that you can make a Festivus pole with? And what would it be?
Curtain rod? But it's horizontal.
It has to be aluminum, right?
It has to be. Well, okay, we'll expand beyond aluminum. But like if you had to make a Festivus pole with something in your house, what would it be?
I have this light that's like a spotlight. It has a long body, like a pole, and then a spotlight at the top. I would do it under on that.
That's a good one.
And I would go to the aluminum pole tree store.
So there actually is a Festivus pole, like, I don't know if it's festivuspole.com, but it's something like that, that you can obviously buy your own Festivus pole.
Is it
from.
Like a maypole? Can you dance around it and do the little streamer thing?
Or like, like a stripper dance maybe as well?
Yeah, maybe.
Do not disrespect Festivus, by the way.
We would never.
We shan't. Yeah. I think the only thing that I have in my apartment, and I don't even know if I have this. I assume that I might have a broom somewhere, but I honestly don't think I have that. What?
I don't think you do. I don't think you have a broom at your – do you have a broom?
Well, no, because I vacuum my wood floors because I have a wood vacuum setting on my vacuum.
You have a dustpan.
I don't think
I have a broom. In your house, where would you keep a broom, Jack?
Well, I do have a Swiffer. I could do a makeshift Festivus pole with my Swiffer.
Swiffer. There you go. Done.
If worse came to worse.
Like, what about an outdoor one with one of the poles from your balcony? Don't you have like poles?
I feel like a Festivus pole has to live on its own. You can't just make it as one of the beams in your house.
That's true.
Okay,
it has to stand at attention by itself. Because that's what it's all about.
It does. Okay. Yours is probably the best because the pull on your light is very heavy.
Yes.
It's heavier than my Swiffer.
Metal.
And metal. So you really got it. Okay. So the next part of Festivus is you have to prepare your Festivus dinner. The Festivus dinner is a platter of meatloaf on a pile of lettuce. Now, what do we think about this?
It sounds fucking delicious, actually.
Yeah, I'm all about meatloaf.
That's really?
Yeah.
A turkey so meatloaf when I was looking is this, so good.
What is... Okay, so number one, when I was looking this up, I kind of had the realization that I don't think I've ever had meatloaf. I don't know. What meat do they usually make meatloaf with?
Usually
ground
beef.
Chuck, I think, yeah.
Usually beef, but like a meatloaf for me, I like a turkey meatloaf, and it's like ground turkey, like what you'd make tacos with or something like that. But then you massage lots of spices and flavors and things into it. Breadcrumbs, chopped celery, chopped carrots, onions. And it ends up being – yeah, it can be good if you do like a nice healthy one. tomato sauce.
It's kind of just like, it's like a bratwurst, but it just square.
No, it's like if you took. Have you ever had like a stuffed pepper, like a pepper stuffed with like turkey and rice? It's like the insides of that just condensed together, so you could slice it and make sandwiches out of it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. Okay. Beef. I'm not into the beef kind. The turkey kind is good.
This sounds like, now Alexis knows this, but like, I was vegetarian for a long time and I'm still a little bit weird with meat. Like, and I don't like meat looking honest. Like, I don't like a meat off of a bone, or I don't like a meat touching the fat or anything like that. Like, I want a meat looking not like the thing it came from. Mm-hmm. So maybe a meatloaf is for me because it's just a block of smushed stuff together.
It's a block of stuff. My mother,
Zach, is we were both vegetarians at the same time, and that did not happen to me. I could eat anything. Sorry, yeah, Billy. No,
it affected us differently. Okay, what were you saying, Billy?
My mother had a cookbook. It was the McCall's cookbook, and she once made a meatloaf, and it was a meatloaf surprise.
Oh!
And inside the meatloaf, as she cut through it, inside was a hard-boiled egg.
Oh,
that was the surprise. Yeah.
Did you say delicious?
Yeah.
Like, and me and my sisters never let my mother, you know what? It's probably brought up every 2 years.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with what she did? That sounds like a delightful surprise.
Is it just one egg within the entire huge meatloaf? And it's like you're like the lucky. Is that like when they have that? You try to find the baby and
the baby.
Yeah.
In the king cake? Yeah.
Wait, I don't see the problem with the egg. You put egg on cheese. People put egg on burgers. People put egg in like frittata.
Yeah, but this is a hard-boiled egg inside.
Did it have the shell?
I mean, listen, it's like.
Wait, was the shell?
It did not have the shell on it. No.
This is the thing. We need to stop being so judgmental about things, because really, when you really break it down and think about it, it's just meat with some egg.
I mean, have you ever seen 1970s?
You know she didn't cook it hard boiled. But Billy, you know she didn't cook it hard boiled. She just cracked an egg in there and it cooked inside while she baked it. She didn't boil an egg and then put it in the meatloaf. She cracked an egg and then covered it up with more meat. And then
I don't know what she did.
I have a question. When you cut into this meat, like you're doing slice, because a meatloaf you do slices, right? It's like bread, obviously loaf.
Yeah, or like
when
brownies.
When you cut into the meat slice with the hard-boiled egg, now is this egg in a perfect little like a egg shape, or is it kind of smushed?
Yes. It's in the slice like that. Yes,
it's because it's in the perfect slice. In the meatloaf.
Interesting. So I
cracked it. It went in, and she covered it up with meat.
No, she had to hard-boil it first because then it kept its shape.
Exactly.
As somebody that has never cooked anything in their life, I think I'm correct.
Egg shape.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
You just called her Jacqueline.
I said Jacqueline.
I bet you $1 million you didn't, and I've been right about this kind of thing before.
Okay. It's what Billy actually listens to our episodes about. Either way,
Confirm. Yeah. Oh, you listened to the episode about the Willy Billy thing.
I did
listen to that. And I was wrong. Yes.
Welcome to the fucking reality of your life.
Welcome. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Yes.
Dude, that was actually so funny. So funny. Steamboat Billy. It's like it's your really like your subconscious putting all of the things together in your mind.
Yeah. Honestly, it like good. Made that week worth pushing forward.
Yeah,
I'm
glad my pan is here for all of you.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next part of Festivus.
Yes.
I love that.
Feats of strength. So feats of strength is you have to test your strength and wrestle the host of the house that you're at. So says Festivus is not considered over until the host is pinned to the floor. So I want to know if we had a feats of strength competition between the three of us, who would win and why?
All right, so I will say this right now because Alexis has just gone to probably get a refill.
Yeah, she just left.
But I will say this is that Alexis has a mule kick that is pretty substantial.
What's a mule kick?
What is a mule kick, Billy?
You know the mule kick. You know the kick that you do.
Oh, no, I know it. I'm wondering how you're going to explain.
Is a mule kick when you're like on your hands and knees and you're doing the butt exercise that you like
kick back? No. She is.
I'm really looking forward to having you explain to people how you know that I have one of these in my arsenal.
She asked the fucking question.
Billy, you have to explain what the fuck is a mule kick. If it's not what I thought it was, then the listeners are
I once saw Alexis. I'm sorry, Alexis. I once saw her kick a mule.
Shut the fuck up, Billy.
It didn't happen.
Alexis, honestly, do you know what he's talking about?
I don't appreciate you lying about my love for animals.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Mm-hmm. As you eat those chicken wings.
So we're going to glaze over the mule kick because nobody is answering my question. Okay. Yes. Who do we think in a matchup for feat of strength? Who is winning?
Like a physical fight. And
it's a wrestling match. Like it's a pin. You have to pin the person down. Whoever gets pinned down on the floor wins. Like who is winning? Why?
How many drinks has Billy had?
Because I feel like the more that Billy drinks,
I'm 100% winning.
Yeah.
no doubt in my mind because there's no doubt. Like, I could take Billy. Billy, it becomes like a shell of his real self sometimes when he drinks.
Wow. Okay. All right.
You like melt into the couch and start giggling. I don't mean that in a mean
way.
You become like putty. You know, you become like this like jovial putty man, and I could fucking take
like
that guy.
Like David. Jovial. Putty?
Wait, jovial putty man. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What could I take? Like
that's like Billy's superhero.
Exactly. But I could
no. That's Billy.
Jovial putty man.
Yeah. That is your superhero, your superhero strength, the jovial putty man. You can resist anything that happens to you because you're so squishy that it kind of penetrates you, you know? And then
if you got in a car accident, your body would be so malleable that you'd live. Like you would just like
so this
hit against the side of a car like a rag doll and bounce back.
I
wish this was all the case, by the way. So.
Alexis, that is literally the first thing that came to my mind, but I was trying not to say it because it was like way too dark. But that's exactly what I think. Like your body, no matter where it flings you, you're just kind of like bouncing. It's like Stretch Armstrong with like a little bit more like movement.
Is it Stretch Armstrong? Is it Gumby? Is it a crash dummy? Who's to say? It's all three.
It's all three.
Faster than a speeding bullet. It's Billy Putty Jensen.
Putty, the jovial putty man. I think that if there's any of our firsties that are illustrators, we need Billy Jensen in his action figure. Like, what does the jovial putty man look like?
Okay, I'm gonna go. So
you can't go. You can't leave us. We need you.
Christmas, everybody. So yeah.
Okay, so Billy's winning in the feats of strength. Billy, so the last part,
I said putty Billy, I'd win. Real Billy, I'd lose. That's hard for me to admit. Mm-hmm. But like Billy's standing at attention, like ready to go. I can't beat him. He's a fucking gargantuan person. But
yeah, you are very intimidating, Billy, and you just like have like the eye of darkness.
Putty Jensen, I can win.
I have the eye of darkness.
Yeah, Alexis told me a little bit about when you're filming your TV show. I'm not going to give anything away, but she has told me a few instances where you have to film something very serious and you have to stand strong and say, I'm Billy Jensen, an investigative journalist, and I'm here to see. And she said that you did it with such gumption and she could never do that.
No, Billy's really good at being like on for a camera. You know, it's true, Billy.
Yeah, because he'll say stuff Billy like, Jensen.
"Oh my god, like, no!"
He'll say stuff like,
"Because I fucking done this for 25 years."
You were on camera for 25 years.
No, you've been on camera for like 1 year.
1 year.
All right. One year. Yeah,
you've done a guest spots. This is like your first big Billy Jensen thing.
I've done more than guest spots before that, but you know, listen, it's.
It's true, Blake. This is your TV show. Don't downplay it. Because I'll don't downplay it.
I'm not downplaying it now.
It's going to be one of the best true crime documentaries ever.
It will be.
Say stuff like, we're doing this for justice and like not laugh after.
Yes.
Oh my God, because it is for justice. And God forbid you
but
don't.
How, Billy, how, I'm sorry, but like, even when I try to take myself the most serious, it's like I could never get to that moment where I was like, yes, and not feel a little bit embarrassed or a little bit like I'm a little silly, like Billy Jensen.
What would the thing that you would toast to, though? Like, what would be that thing?
I don't know. Well, I don't. Exactly. My line of work is not as serious as your guys's, so I would. I don't have a position or experience that I would have had to be that serious in.
Yeah,
but there's nothing
more serious.
No, Jack, than you do. Like, I disagree. Recently, the body positivity stuff you're doing is as important. Like, everything's important, depending on how you look at it. But like, I so admire like your stance on that and what you've done. Recently, it's like I disagree. I do think that's important, and it's
yeah, but it's
yes.
You can't. But I'm not standing. Murder. It's apples and oranges, but still,
totally. I agree. Thank you. By the way,
seriously though, I've told you this several times that like that shit helps me. Like being so insecure your entire life because of what the media has fed you. I only just started feeling better about it in my 30s, and it's because of you. So it's like, it's not nothing.
No, I don't think it's nothing either. I wouldn't compare it to like standing on the doorstep of like a convicted like murderer or something like that. But
it's different. Like you're reaching different people than this is reaching, and it makes people feel better. You know what I mean? Like it's just apples and oranges, but it's certainly serious and probably way more people suffer from that than like anything else. But back to Christmas, Billy. Why don't you tell them what I got you for Christmas?
Oh, did you already exchange gifts?
Yes.
We did.
Oh, okay, good. Because this sort of makes sense. Yeah.
So Alexis got me a very special gift. It was wrapped up. I had to like unwrap it. And she's just like, don't just you like.
Wrapped it like, Billy, like a mummy.
Like the mummy. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wrapped it. And then I finally got to the center of the wrapping, and it was a bobblehead of me.
And it's so good.
It's so good. And I kept looking at it going, this really looks a lot like me. Like really, there's one thing to do a bobblehead of somebody. It's like, oh, it kind of looks like you. Or somebody. This really looked a lot like me. She went so far, Alexis did, of having my tattoo of the magnifying glass on my forearm. That was on there as well. It's kind of perfect. And then the underneath, like sort of, so on the base of every bobblehead, it usually says the person's name or something like that. On the base, it says an ellipsis. It says dot, dot, dot to justice.
Because every time I'm with Billy, if anyone's trying to do a cheers or some shit, he's like,
a toast.
This with a straight face, and it's like
again straight face.
I appreciate
God
that.
God forbid,
all of this is for justice. But like, I just can't be trite like that. Like, and he can't with a straight
trite,
face
sister.
And like mean it. He means it, guys.
Mm-hmm. I mean it.
You do mean it. You do mean it. It is. When it's very commendable, Billy.
When I make fun of him, he gets really. It's some of the times that he gets the most. Like, why do you think I don't mean that? I'm like. You can. We're always just laughing. I'm making fun of you because like
face. Yes, I know that. Yeah, but no. It's an amazing gift, and it's on my desk. It's displayed proudly, and it really does look like me. And I know that you had to send them a ton of pictures. I know that you work with Jack to make sure that like.
Well, I would send them to Jack to be like, "Does this look like him?" I don't know. Like,
oh my God, no! It totally looks like you. It is. And there are a couple, because I looked this up for a potential Christmas present as well. But there are a bunch of sites out there that they craft these out of clay, I think. Like they are completely custom. It's not like, get something that like kind of looks like the person that you like. It's like they take front, center, back of your head pictures. You can have them wearing whatever you want. Like it's
body
completely
type.
Custom.
They put a tattoo really... on him. They'll do an earring in your ear. They'll make it look exactly like them. It's good shit. And it's really funny. Literally, Billy, when Jack texted me, and I'm not going to give anything away, Jack, so don't worry. But Jack texted me like, what should I do for Jared? And I was like, well, here's what I'm doing. And she's like, shut the fuck up. I was just on a bobblehead website. Like, we were like on the same website. Me and Jack are the same person. So, and I was like, I'm doing that for Billy. That's so funny. Cause like Billy would love to gaze at himself more than anything else. And then, but like the irony was that Jack was literally in the middle of doing it too. It was really funny. And then the next idea really I had, which I won't say, she's like, oh my God, that was my idea too. I'm like,
it's like this, Alexis.
You and me right here.
Seeing into each other's souls.
Down the gullet of your soul.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I have one last Festivus thing, and then the last part of the episode, we're going to jump into some firsties questions. So last part of Festivus is there are Festivus miracles where you're calling all slightly non-routine events a Festivus miracle. Can you guys think of any Festivus miracles that have happened lately in your life? Just like a very...
Something non-routine?
And also just like not amazing, but it's a Festivus miracle.
I saw a duck today at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery that I swear was iridescent like a peacock. Like it was the most stunning creature I've ever seen. It was like opal and it was a Festivus miracle, frankly. So yes.
That is a Festivus miracle. That's the perfect example of a Festivus miracle. Billy, do you have one?
I ordered chicken wings today and they had a honey glaze on them, which is one thing, but they had this miso ranch that I thought was sublime. So that was mine.
Billy, I've literally never heard you talk about any sort of foodie thing ever. Like, I didn't even know you knew what miso was.
It was so good.
Do you know what miso is?
It's just, yes, it's like that spicy thing that comes with the
what kind of Japanese plant food. Is yeah. it?
It's from the miso plant.
Uh-huh.
it was so good and
it's a Festivus miracle.
It.
Do you know? So the interesting thing is my Festivus miracle that I was going to talk about is I recently got chicken nuggets from McDonald's, and every time I go to McDonald's, I ask for honey and just plain honey, not honey mustard. Mm-hmm. I want honey.
Right.
And every single time I go there and I ask for honey, they're like, yeah, we have honey. We put it in there with all the other sauces. And I go home and they give me fucking honey mustard. Mm-hmm. Now, this time that I went, I got the honey. And that, my friends, is a Festivus miracle.
The universe is on your side.
I mean, it truly feels like a miracle every time that they get it. So it is a Festivus miracle.
And then I have a miracle that's not a Festivus miracle because it's a real miracle. Me and Jack get to go to New York to do.
Wait, we want to announce this. No. We're going to do this another day. This deserves its own beginning of the episode.
Okay, well then fine. I'll just leave you with that little nugget as a play on Jack's McNugget thing. We won't elaborate, but I think there is irony in that I got to go to New York with Billy and then I get to go with you too. So that's all. Festivus.
Yeah, we get to go to New York for something coming up soon, but it deserves its own little chat, you know?
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, we're going to drop that little seed there. We'll pay that off some other time. Sorry, Billy. You can't come.
We love dropping little seeds. It's great. Okay. So when we come back, we're just talking some Christmas shit. So this last part of our episode, we're just going to take some questions from the Facebook group like we always do. Our first question, have we talked about this? I can't remember because there's so many questions about it on my post that I made today. But have we talked about, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? Have we had this conversation?
No.
Yeah, it is. So it's not even a conversation to have.
Billy thinks it is. Alexis, do you think Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
I need to watch it again. I can't comment on something I don't feel strong in.
Know enough about.
Exactly. So, I need to watch it again. I'll report back on our New Year's episode, but I don't know.
So I just recently watched Die Hard because we're trying to watch a different a Christmas movie, and I've made Jared watch so many rom-coms over the past couple days. So we watched Die Hard, and I mean, I have to say that I do believe it's a Christmas movie. There's so many, I mean, there's so many Christmas references.
How so can many you, Christmas references, exactly.
Yes. It happens over Christmas. It would be yes. one thing if they're like in December. They're like, no, this is, it's Christmas setting the scene.
And ho, 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 I have a machine gun now. Yeah, yeah, it's all Christmas.
Okay, so 2/3 of us say it's Christmas movie, 1/3 TBD.
Mm-hmm. I may be there, but you know what? I'll just like, I trust you guys, because even the slightest reference to, you know how celebratory I am, Jack. I love fucking festivities like that. Fuck it. It's a Christmas movie. Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Check. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Okay. Do you guys have any specific family traditions that you do that are weird or notable, or just like, what is your like favorite thing to do around the holidays with family or just alone or, you know, whatever?
For sure, me and my sisters always try to make our dad cry when he's opening a gift.
Aww.
Like, it's like somebody has to do it. There has to be like flaring nostrils, because he won't like fall mm-hmm. into tears. He's not that guy. He's like a nostril flare, hold it in guy, where he's like,
right.
Like, you know, and his nostrils will flare and he'll look away and like wipe a tear and then like pretend nothing happened. But like that's sort of always, and this year, I'm fucking making it happen. I'm fucking killing it this year.
Is it a sentimental gift?
Well, actually, yes. May I share? Do we have some time?
Yeah, go for it.
So first of all, there are two things. My dad, for his 60th birthday in July over the summer, he was supposed to go to Scotland and he couldn't because of COVID. Mm. So I did the thing where you buy a plot of land in Scotland and you become a lord.
You get a lord title because
you own land in Scotland. Suddenly you're a lord. So I bought
him. It's like a square foot, right?
What?
It's like a square foot.
I bought 2 square feet because I wanted him to be like baller compared to like the next guy. So I bought him 2 square feet of, and they're going to plant 2 trees on his land, Lord James's land. So I bought him that. And then this is really good, you guys. Listen up. And Debbie, if you're listening, Debbie is one of our amazing listeners, and she also is a huge Lady Gang fan. And we became friends slowly. And we started talking. We've had several phone conversations and we text a lot. Debbie's amazing. And she and I were texting, and she was telling me how her grandfather, I think, I'm so sorry, Debbie, if I'm getting this wrong, went to high school with my great grandfather. And she was going through some stuff. And she found their yearbook from 1929.
Holy shit.
And like my grandpa like signed her like this yearbook in several places and things like that. And it's almost 100 years old. And she was so sweet and kind as to send it to me. And I was going to give it to him for his birthday, but I didn't. And I'm going to give it to him for Christmas. And I wrote this super sweet card that was like, you probably don't know what this is, but check on page 52, 92, 154, because it's like all of like these cute little notes back and forth from her family member and ours and like his picture everywhere. It was the most generous, amazing, moving thing that's like ever happened to me since we started the podcast. So Debbie, I hope you're listening. I think about you all the time. It's the nicest thing anyone's ever done.
That is so amazing.
I'm going to win the fucking crying thing this year for sure.
Oh my God. And also for her to give up that, where it's like part of her family history as well. That's very generous of her.
It was one of the most beautiful things, like somebody who I feel like we do know each other well because we've talked so much, but of course in real life we haven't, you know? And so I'm so grateful and moved and, you know, that's the kind of shit that like everyone's been depressed, and I'm sure that'll just make his year, you know? So I'm so grateful. That's sweet. Thanks, Debbie. I hope you're listening.
That's such a good gift. Billy, do you have any family traditions or traditions of your own?
You know, my father used to have he had the house that was the big house, the decorated house, and everybody would drive past it. And that was what our lives were like. After the day after Thanksgiving, it was, all right, we got to go put up the Christmas decorations. And that was what we did every Saturday and Sunday up until Christmas. So I've tried to keep on that tradition to a smaller extent, because he loved that. And even when he got sick too, we had to put a sign out that said, sorry, due to sickness, we don't have the lights anymore. And then people like wrote letters and things like that. So That's one of the things that I try to do, is that, like, at least to do a little bit of something. It's not necessarily over the top. It's not like what you see in a lot of different places, but that's what he tried to do. And I just wonder, like, what he would, you know, he always loved to, like, keep up with the Joneses. So if he would have seen the internet and seen, like, what other people had going on, he would have, like, stepped it up even more and more if he was still alive. Yeah.
He wants to, like, be the best on the block.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
What about you, Jack?
My family, I mean, my family is just me and my parents. So we've always kind of just been the Three Musketeers. Nothing else. Nothing has been, like, super elaborate or crazy that we've ever done. So we actually travel a lot over the holidays just because we can, and it's pretty easy to have experiences. And I love, you know, paying for their vacations over Christmas and stuff. It's like a very fulfilling thing that I can do. But the one thing that, no matter where we are, that I make sure that we do is we watch A Christmas Story all day on TBS during Christmas.
Love
that.
Love The Christmas Story.
It's the best Christmas movie of all time. In my
it
eyes.
It really is. Mm-hmm. The leg lamp, classic.
It's classic. We just walked past a house that had one of them. And I'm like, you know what? I love this. I love you guys.
Jack, you need one.
A leg lamp?
Yeah, like when you and Jared buy a house, like, you should have one proudly. For the month of December, you should put one in your, like, front window. Just as, like, a nod.
Yes.
I mean, it's make that your tradition. That's so cute. You could, like, do a whole thing with BB guns and, like, poles and tongues and legs and, like, make it your Christmas vibe.
I love that. Just, like, everything that we can reference A Christmas Story.
Well, yeah. Your whole Christmas tree could just be themed like A Christmas Story. It'd be such a cute thing to do.
It's such a classic. It's so, like, good. I do love that. I will get a leg lamp.
Leg lamp.
You know what? Now that you bring it up, the pole that was in Christmas Story is kind of reminiscent to the aluminum pole from Festivus.
That's true.
It's the OG Festivus pole.
Yeah. It is. I wonder if you can just freeze your Festivus pole in your own house and then stick your tongue to that one. And then you could be doing, like, a double whammy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Sure you could.
Somebody try it with their Festivus pole. Well, you know, I think we really killed enough time. This was fun, guys. This is why we need a second episode a week of Killing Time. I think so.
I love that. And I love this whole thing. And you guys, happy holidays. We are so excited for next year. And we're so grateful you listen. And we love you all so much. If we could get you each a gift, we would. But for now, Billy's mockery will have to suffice.
What was the name of his action figure? I can't forget it.
Putty.
Jovial
Putty Man.
Yes. We will one day we will have Jovial Putty Man action figures available on the website. So you just wait.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, Billy, do you want to sign us off? Wait, how do we sign off the episodes usually now? I forget.
Make something up, Putty Man.
We don't do it. Fuck it.
No, we just do on Killing Time, we just do the beep. That's it.
All right. Well, beep, beep, beep.
48 minutes.
48:22.
Happy holidays. Beep, beep, boop. Billy?
Happy holidays.
Beep, bitch.
Just say Putty Man instead.
Putty Man.
Putty Man.